Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and sometimes a Twisted Mister or two. Not so sure how that's going to work out tonight. Let's see now. My one Twisted Sister lost her phone. My one Twisted Mister is in MIA. Oh, and the other Twisted Mister, he's MIA, too. So right now it's just, well, hi, Naomi. How are you?
Hello. Hello.
You are the co-host du jour.
You are. Oh, okay. Perfect. I'll get out my My low voice, my high voice, my singing voice, all kinds of voices.
that's exactly what we have.
Oh, my God.
I said, maybe I'll have someone call in, and here you are, so I'm happy to have you. More than you can imagine.
And can stay all the show. Isn't that great?
Thank God. Thank God for that. Well, we may be doing a little bit of open poetry at the end of the show. We have some poetry, but with two readers and some poetry, we might run a little short, but we'll figure it out. We're going to play it by ear, hon.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great to have you.
We'll make long comments. I'll try them, you know. My comments sometimes are like, yeah, and...
That's why mine are so scary. But we'll be all right. We will be all right. And hopefully, you know, maybe someone else will call in. I don't know. I haven't seen Thomas in a while. Maybe he'll pop on and visit with us.
Where's Doc tonight? He disappeared. He went to bed. He fell under the bed.
So I don't know where we have some poetry. Now, normally I would say, and Pam, tell me a little bit about your prompts. Tell me about the artist. Tell me something. Hey, Pam, tell me something. Because I do not know anything about this.
And she lost her phone.
She did.
Poor Pam. I'm so sorry, Pam.
Yeah, it's like here we go. But she thinks maybe she left it at the store, or it may be in the car. But the car is not home.
Okay.
So I'm hoping, but it's just going to be one of those.
I hope she finds it. We have everything in our darn phones these days. I mean, like if I lose my phone, I go crazy because, like, I have all my appointments in there on the agenda. I have like everything, you know, every little bit and piece of my life are in there.
Yep, I never put my phone on silent either. Because if you put it on silent and you misplace it, you can't hear it to find it. So it's always
no. Happening. That's it. Yeah, so true.
And you were supposed to type me something about this artist. Did you? Pam. Oh, Pam. I'm just being a smart aleck. But I will say I don't know him. So, you know, I guess we'll figure that out too, Naomi. Maurice, I don't know for sure, but that's some good
Maurice. That's a French name. Norval Morisseau, and he's probably a Métisse. You know, there was a lot of maybe probably because there's a lot of. French with Indian mating back then. Yeah, I have his look. I have his biography right here. It's written Norval Morisseau. He was born in 1931. And I guess he died in 2007, is considered by many to be the Michaumi, or grandfather of contemporary indigenous art in Canada. So, probably he is a Métisse, and he's from Canada. He's probably French Indian. His life has been sensationalized in newspapers and documentaries, while his unique artistic style has pushed the boundaries of visual storytelling. The creator of the Woodland School of Art and prominent member of the Indian Group of Seven, Morisot is best known for using bright colors and portraying traditional stories, spiritual themes, and classical messages in his work.
Oh, thank you for that. You were the perfect co-host for tonight, see?
Yeah, yeah. And he says, it goes on to say, he was born when the indigenous people in Canada were confined to reserves, forced to attend residential schools, and banned from practicing traditional ceremonial activities. He was the oldest of five children born to Grace Teresa Nanakanagos and Abel Morisot. And in keeping with Anishinaabe tradition, he was sent to live with his maternal grandparents at Sandpoint Reserve on the shores of Lake Nipigon, Ontario. There, Morisot learned the stories and cultural traditions of his people from his grandfather, Moses Poten Nanakanagos, a shaman trained within the Midwinnan spiritual tradition. From his grandmother, Veronique Nanakanagos, he learned about Catholicism.
Yep. Catholicism. There you go. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. You see, somebody's got to know what I'm doing, right?
He said he faced sexual and psychological abuse that left him with deep emotional scars when he went to the Indian residential school in Fort Williams. Yeah.
That's so awful.
Wow. Yeah,
there was a lot
of stuff going on in those schools, and they just had uncovered in British Columbia and over Canada in those residential schools, they dug up cemeteries of little children that were buried there, eh? So we have it, it was awful. I mean, they were, trying to make them into perfect little white children, eh? And, yeah.
That's a shame. It's a disgrace what happened.
Yes, it is.
Now, Naomi, we are the Twisted Sisters tonight, and we have a Twisted Mister. Hello, Thomas, and welcome
aboard.
Tom!
Oh, hello, Tom.
Hello.
Good to have
you.
How are you all? Good, Tom. You can help us out with the comment, and you go first. We'll follow.
That's right. We'll have Thomas go first.
Yeah, well, this is one of those people who I really like his stuff, but I couldn't write a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that. You know, not everything will spark everyone, you know, and it's just the way it happens, you know.
No, and it's too close to what I call the crazy season. I mean, I'm already having to bake pies and make cookies and get things, and we got to find broccoli, and nobody seems to have broccoli, so I can make hollandaise sauce and we can have that ready for the dinner. And it's in my head everywhere but poetry.
Yeah, ahead of time is helpful, that's for sure. Well, we're coming for pie, right, Naomi?
Pardon me?
Naomi, we're going for pie, right? You're going
to
come pick me up and then we'll drive down to Tom's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Two more chairs.
You get ready for us. I see Sapphire.
I will be in Alexandria at my youngest brother's house. He's always the one that's gone up drive crazy. Needs that like a little one-butt kitchen. So you got to have everything prepared before you get there because there's no room to do anything once you're there.
Yeah, it's like my house. Why, gracious, my house. Well, I do have 3 bedrooms, but when all my gang gets here, like I have 4 kids with their boyfriends and girlfriends, and I have 4 grandchildren, and then, 4 grandchildren. Actually, I have 6 because when my daughter Pam, she's with her boyfriend, and he has 2 girls, so that's 4 together there. So there's 6 kids, and plus, you know, it's like hectic. And this year I'm having them over and we're having a supper and we're having it all in our pajamas. And then everybody's going to be in their pajamas and, they're all sleeping over, of course, because they come from all over Quebec here. And so we're going to sleep all over the place and it's going to be like just fun and I can't wait.
Yeah, you got to get a game of Twister going so you can watch them all fall all over each other.
There you go.
What did you say, Tom?
You should get a Twister game so they can all fall all over each other trying to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have like 2 babies this year. Like I had 2 granddaughters. One is 3 months and the other is 8 months. So, and with the 4 older ones running around, it's going to be hectic. It's going to be crazy fun.
Wonderful.
The oldest is 6. I grew up that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be a good Christmas this year with 2 new babies in the family. It's going to be fun.
Okay, kids, well, what do you think? I guess we should get this party started. Well, we already did get
Absolutely.
The party started. But I guess
Pam just wrote on the board that we have 2 intro poems. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, we do. I have one up on the board for now. And then we'll have to see where we can go from there. I don't know.
Okay.
We're going to give it a whirl. I'm going to read the first one, and then we're going to go on and do some more poetry, and we'll pull out that other intro poem. Okay, here goes. This is called Invocation. And this is by, let me see, Jane Johnston Schoolcraft. She's a young lady of 200 years old. Why not? To my maternal grandfather, on hearing his descent from Chippewa ancestors misrepresented, rise, bravest chief of the mark of the noble deer, with eager glance resume thy lance, and wield again thy warlike spear. My eyeballs. Sorry. The foes of thy line with coward design have dared with black envy to garble the truth and stain with a falsehood thy valorous youth. They say when a child thou wert tamed from the Sioux and with impotent aim to lessen thy fame, thy warlike lineage basely abuse, for they know that our bands tread a far distant land. And thou noble chieftain art nevertheless and dead. Thy bow all unstrung and thy proud spirit fled. Can thy sports of thy youth or thy deeds ever fade, or those e'er forget who are mortal men yet? The scenes where so bravely thou lifted the blade, who have fought by thy side and remember thy pride, when rushing to battle with valor and ire, thou sawest the fell foes of thy nation expire. Can the warrior forget how sublimely you rose, like a star in the west when the sun sinks to rest, that shines in bright splendor to dazzle our foes, that arm and thy yell once the tale could repel, which slander invented in Minion's detail, and still shall thy actions refute the false tale. Rest thou, noblest chief, in thy dark house of clay, thy deeds and thy name thy child shall proclaim, and make the dark forest resound with the lay, though my spirit has fled to the hills of the dead. Yet thy name shall be held in my heart's warmest core, and cherished till valor and love be no more. End the poem. Wow, I think I chopped that all up. I apologize, Miss Johnston.
I know, you read it just good, just perfectly.
It's an odd rhyming pattern to me. Like, wow, I kept waiting to skip something. But it was a great choice, Pam. I'll get even with you later for giving me something to trip over. Anyhow, it was good. Thomas, you want to make a comment on the poem?
It's really kind of neat to listen to someone speak to their parent from a non-European background, because they look at things a little bit differently than the rest of us do, and celebrate things that we perhaps wouldn't think of. Yet at the same time, you get a sense that the love and the pride and the strength of personal spirit about family and one's ancestors is just as strong as it is in anyone else. And this is done so vibrantly and with so much life and so much detail that it's a feast to hear. A terribly wonderful piece.
Right. I agree. Pam says she loved how the poem speaks to the bold spirit of her grandfather. And this is true. It did speak to the strengths and the history of him. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is so well written. I can see they say the poem is in the public domain, published in it was recognized by the Academy of American Poets. This is not only, you know, about it's a tribute to her grandfather, but I think to her whole people, you know, how her whole nation, when she says, "Thou sawest the fell foes of thy nation expire." That must have been something there. And this is a way back, I mean, you know, in the 1800s. And it was going on really bad there then, you know, the colonization and everything, and how they were losing their identity and losing their everything, you know, their culture was all, you know, and so this is really beautiful piece.
Absolutely. That was a great choice, Pam. Really great choice. I did like how it spoke to her, her grandfather and ancestors in general. It was just really nicely done. Most definitely. So, let me see now. Okay, Naomi, I'm going to give you this next one. And
okay.
This is called Sail Away Poetry. And I was looking because it looked like there was a SoundCloud, but there's not. So, you shall
okay.
see.
Okay. Sail Away Poetry by Omega A.M. Okay, and this is written to the quote, "I want to make painting full of color, laughter, compassion, and love. I want to make painting that will make people happy, that will change the course of people's lives. If I can do that, I can paint for 100 years. Okay, so sail away poetry. Before a swan orchestra in full bloom, the lid spoke, writing in shark oil, this old world charm like a boat sailing by. Images burst with fire into the quite sphere of internal rise on a cliff face, the renaissance of chanting, peculiar variation of freedom, the Beethoven concerta, now bare under the old ash tree, a time of later scalloped green leaves with Vivaldi's smile. The sun is fading with the moon that once was. A soundless flight of birds rush by. I wish I could fly. If I had a cigar, I might even smile.
Nice read. Nice read, Naomi. Thomas, what did you think?
A lovely exploration of how the classics and the arts enliven one's sense of what is before you. I mean, I like the peculiar variation of freedom, the Beethoven concerta now bare under the old ash tree, or a time of later scallop, green leaves from Vivaldi's smile, the sun is fading with the moon that once was. I mean, there's just such a tender gentleness of description both of the landscape and of the things of the past that still hold meaning and still touch and color the way we see the universe we live in. And that last line, all I could think of was Groucho Marx for some reason. If I had a cigar, I might even smile. I'm afraid as a kid, I spent too much time watching Bet Your Life.
But
a very good
funny
piece.
Thanks, Thomas. Yeah, I thought it was a great piece. I thought there was some wonderful imagery in this. And I also felt that the emotions were well expressed throughout. Just a really nicely done piece. I like the before swan orchestra in full bloom, the Liat spoke, writing in charcoal, this old world charm, like a boat sailing by. It's a wonderful intro stanza, because it's enough to draw you in and make you want to know where it's going. Where is it going to go? And I think that the ending stanza was just as wonderful. I mean, it wrapped it all up very nicely. So nice work, Omega. Now, what did you think, Naomi?
This is magnificently written. It's wow. I've never read anything from this poet before, but I mean, just the imagery there and the emotion created in images burst in with fire, and then of internal cries on a cliff face. My gracious, you just imagine that internal cries on a cliff face. That's a powerful, powerful image right there. And this is very wonderfully written. And right down to that last phrase, if I had a cigar, I might even smile. It goes along with it's powerful, but still it is airy and like it has this flow to it there, and a beautiful imagery all through. And that last sentence, well, it ties in with the easiness. I think it's like the easiness of life here and the beauty of life and just the flow of life, all expressed throughout it with its powerfulness and all its facets. So I think this is a very beautiful write.
Great comments, guys. Great comments. Let's see now. Thomas, that brings me to you.
Okay. Well, if you got to be that way, I'll read.
Thanks. Okay.
Okay, we have So Too by Patrick Childs. So many broken people, too many to count. So many with nowhere to go. Too many that go without. So many lives have been lost. Too many have died in vain. So many souls uselessly spent. Too many to remember by name. So many living in fear. Too many fear living this life. So many lies taken as truth. Too many not asking why. So many people are homeless. Too many children are starving. So many are shouting for justice. Too many militias arming. So many wanting for peace. Too many calling for war. So many asking forgiveness. Too many for God to ignore. So many become too many. Too many is everyone. Every one of us needs somebody. So many of us need someone. Well, all in this together. Together we'll be as one. So every day to maybe someday.
Wow. Nice read, Thomas.
Okay.
Nicely done. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Oh, I love how he uses the words in here, so many. And then too many, and so many, and then too many. And then he gets down to, yeah, this is very, very powerful. And then when he gets down to that third stanza, my gracious, so many become too many is everyone. Every one of us needs somebody. So many of us need someone. We're all in this together. Together we'll be as one. So every day, to maybe someday. That's a marvelous word play there in here. Just wow. This Patrick Childs there, I was really impressed by this write.
Right. I agree. I thought it was a very strong write and cleverly written because it holds you there and makes its point very well. You know, it talks about, so much. It does encompass a lot, and I think it was, but it does it in short sentences. It's not like overpowering where you look at something and it's dense and there's so much to get through. This I think, because of the shorter sentences and the way he went from so many to too many, I think it made more of an impact, actually. So nicely done, Patrick Childs, and thank you so much for sharing. Thomas, now what did you think?
Well, if you look at the way it's constructed, it appears to be very simple. But I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to write something like this, it quickly falls apart because it's very difficult to maintain what you might call the build, because he develops it from something very simple, so many broken people, too many to count, and then keeps developing it. So we, by the second stanza, we have so many living in fear, too many fear living this lie. And he begins to shift it and create shadows and greater intensity and develop it and deepen it and maintaining the structure all the time so that the very structure itself pulls us through the poem. And when he hits that third stanza, as Naomi says, it's overpowering. But that's because he has done so well in using simplicity and clarity to be really striking to the heart of anyone who reads it. This is a real show of skill, confidence, and beauty. Quite impressive.
Right. Yeah, I have to agree with you absolutely, Thomas. That's what I was trying to say. You know, for writing it in such a form, it made it so much easier to digest. But I think that it's not easy to write it this way. Because what happens is when you're doing that so many to too many things, a lot of times what happens is people start to second guess it. Like, you know, they read the first line and they think they know what's coming in the second line, you know, and it kind of becomes that way. But this is far from that. Like, this is not something that people would have really pulled together in their minds. So that's what made it so wonderful. But excellent job, Patrick. You really did a great job with this. Okay. Yeah. I have to remember how to get back to the room. There it is. Now, Naomi, we've got this. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to put the next piece up, and this one is by Sapphire Rose. And let me hit that button.
Makwa, Black Bear, by Sapphire Rose. My great uncle often told me tales of the Makwa, the great protectors of family and foundation. The Ojibwe people hold the Makwa in high esteem. They are known for their strong will and fierceness of spirit. Black Bear, Makwa, will sacrifice to save their own. I share their blood and yearn to learn all I can about the traditions of my Ojibwe ancestors who held these legends close. My great aunt has a tattoo on her left leg, symbolizing her and her bear cubs, meaning she and her three children. She will fight for them always. If you ever come across a Makwa, do not run, do not shy away. If your heart and blood is pure in spirit, it will guide your way. People may fear the Makwa, but the truth is, they are one of the toughest totems in Native culture. There is a great peace and spirit open to all who dare to see it. I hope it speaks to all of you the way that it speaks to me. End poem.
Nice job, Sapphire Rose. Great recording. Let's see. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I was just reading her Inan there.
You want to read it to us?
This is, she says, in the great Northwest Territories of Canada lies the Naimi Valley, the Valley of Headless Corpses. Hundreds of hot springs throughout the valley cause a constant mist in the area. Black fertile soil and exotic lush greenery fill the land alongside the treacherous rapids of the river. Due to the tropic-like climate, the Nahanni Valley will never see snow. I didn't even know this existed, and I'm from Canada. Shame on me. The area has long been shrouded in Indian legend, long before white explorers welcomed themselves into Canada. The native people claimed the valley to be of bad medicine and possess an evil supernatural presence. Wow. Okay. And then
very
she
cool.
goes on. Yeah, cool. But I really like this write, and how she embraces her background, her culture, and talks to us about the Makwe here and the Abij. I can't say that. Ojibwe people. And and her about her great aunt that has a tattoo on her left leg symbolizing her bear cubs, and that means that she'll always protect her children, you know. And I just loved this all the way through, and the way it was written too. And in the last stanza, there is great peace and a spirit open to all who dare to see it. I hope it speaks to all of you the way that it speaks to me. And see, there she finishes with an openness, you know, towards everybody, and for and a welcome, an invitation for everybody to come in and to explore and this culture, you know, that's all around us, really. It's in nature everywhere. And I applaud the indigenous people for that, because their commune with nature, it's so pure. It's so, you know, they never used to kill an animal just for the hunt, you know. If they were hungry, they would do it, and then they would thank the animal for their sacrifice, you know, from what I read. And it's just so pure and so loving and so sharing, you know, their spirituality. So anyway, yeah, this was a great piece, Sapphire. Bravo all the way.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. And Thomas, how about you?
What I like about this is the way it exhibits how much a people have come to a land and made the and have learned the land in a way that it becomes both a spiritual statement to them as well as a way of living. And so the animals aren't just things to be harvested. They are lessons to be learned, behaviors to be understood, things to be emulated and recognized by anyone who lives there. Very different from the way the Europeans view the land, and very different from the way they treated it. For them, it was money, furs, and way to get rich, instead of seeing all the richness that was there for them to become part of. And so I really like the last verse of this. There is great peace and spirit open to all who dare to see it. I hope it speaks to all of you the way it speaks to me. That's like an invitation from the host to be more than just a guest in the land.
Really?
And in many ways, most of us are still lucky if we're just guests, instead of being thieves. So it's a beautiful work. Very, very well done.
Nice comment, Thomas. Get a drink. You need a drink.
Want a cigarette?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to welcome Martha Gettle to us. She's called in during the audio. Wow. Hey, Martha, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, hello, good. Martha.
Hi.
Did you get a chance to read that poem?
No, I can't bring it up on my, I have only my laptop right now.
Okay, not a problem. I thought this was a fabulous poem. I thought it was a wonderful take on the protector, the Makwa. And I thought it was a beautiful expression of soul, and it was much enjoyed. A lot of these stories, you know, they to me, it's an expression of soul, because you have to dig deep inside to to pull out those what's the word I want? I don't know. It's just the way it makes you feel. You know, you tell the stories that have been passed down through generations, and they do. They touch you somehow. They touch your soul because it makes them so, well, they're usually so relatable. And I think that this was just a wonderful, wonderful story. So thank you so much, Sapphire Rose. That was really, really a great piece. And, you know, it's not a huge piece or a long piece. It was perfect. It was just enough to put it all out there and give everyone that last stanza to really speak to them. And I think that it was well done. Clever stuff.
It says, if you become part of the story, Aiden, so it's powerful. Yeah.
It just draws you like that. Yeah, it's wonderful. Welcome back, Thomas. It's good to have you back. Okay, so Naomi, that's going to bring me to you.
Okay.
Your next piece.
Betty Page, Thunderbird, 3,563. Thunderbird, Caribbean blue, flying high towards starlit skies. Feel sweet light feathers, coral peachy pink, seashells and colored glass shapes, bright stained glass windows, mosaic neon, ancient traditions caress Thunderbird vision, ultraviolet, whoops, I lost it, sounds caressing my soft heart. One with all nature, painting fine pictures, cryptic, fantastic, spilling across through universe.
Nice. Nice reading, Naomi. Thomas, what did you think? Let me keep getting it. Martha, you want to start us off on this one? I think I
thought
Thomas
it was really nice. I really enjoyed the poem, the word pictures that it produced and the emotions that it carried. It was a really good poem.
Nice. I agree with that very much. Very much. Naomi, how about you?
Well, the color comes throughout this poem. There's beautiful imagery, like the coral peachy pink, and then the colored glass shapes. You can just imagine that. And the stained glass windows, mosaic neon, ultraviolet sound. So she brings sounds into it. And the cryptic fantastic spilling cross through universe. So it's like there's a bit of like fantasy in this, and while being at the same time very spiritual. And she wrote it, she has it as explicit, so okay, so there's underlines of, yeah, I just caught on to that. Okay, so there's underlines of something going on here. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, when I get that, it becomes, yeah, all that more interesting, Betty Page. I can see that. Okay. Very very well written, very clever too, you know, the metaphors all through to get to that explicit place. Very well done.
Absolutely. Now, Thomas, are you back, honey?
Yeah. She is definitely the mistress of the three line birds, and knows how to put them together in a way that each one create sort of an image all by itself, and then they're like little drops of color and sound. So as they hit the canvas and begin to blend together, you get an entire picture that is unique. So in a way, she makes her own mosaic poetry as well as speaking of the mosaic. I thought she captured really well the whole picture of the Thunderbird as he creates it, that sense of the shape and then all the colors within and the way they create their own mosaic and their own vibrancy and their own aliveness and life, as well as the spiritual feeling that's in there. A really well-developed piece, very sharp and well put together, especially when one's aware of what the subject is that she's speaking to.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Yeah, I think that this was a nicely done piece by Betty. I loved her use of color and imagery throughout, and I thought it was just beautifully penned. Really nice work, Betty. Yeah, I enjoyed it. 3,566. She's keeping count of those poems. She just cranks them out. God bless her. But nice job, and thanks again, Betty. I appreciate you participating in the shows and all you do. So let me see now. That brings me to, I have one here. This one is by Eric Svensson, and I do have an audio for this one, so let me put that up and hit the button. And here we go. Or not. Yes. No.
Painter performs open heart surgery. Ripe watermelon falls to the floor. Bursts open like sadness contained too long. Cerise pink flesh splits open, releases shiny black pips like hidden unshed tears held back too long. Skilled artist surgeon sets to work with paintbrush scalpel, exposes human hearts in desperate need of repair. So many years needed to salvage hearts broken by fear. Incantations pour down like spring rain, soak hearts paralyzed by fearfulness. Eyes behold brightly painted colors. Less is more, simplicity calms fretful minds. Behold happiness, sends joy. Celebration of abondsment, keep art in the heart comes to mind. Copper Thunderbird, Picasso of the North. Mysticism married spiritualism. Canadian native grew tall alongside black spruce, eastern white pine, and bears. Folklore complex like a lead impasto painting. Shaman father imparted tribal tradition. Actions speak louder than words. Paint pigment the happy medium. Observe, digest, and feel the impact. Color therapy acknowledged for its healing properties. Rainbows painted through time. Woodland style became a household name. A purse cluttered, complex mind schisms. Show, don't tell. Painting of shaman presents poignant pointers. Man is puzzle piece placed among creatures, great and small. All things bright and beautiful. All things wise and wonderful. Picasso of the North's legacy lives on like those purple-headed mountains in Perm.
Thank you for the audio, Herc. Great job. Now, let me see. Thomas, I think I'm going to start with you on this one.
I've been listening to Eric for too long, and he's starting to make a great deal of sense. I'm just more available for his way of looking at the universe. I mean, I love the way this opens up when the ripe watermelon falls to the floor. He brings in color. He brings in vibrancy. He brings in the force of the moment. And then to move from the cerise pink flesh splits open and the black releases shiny black pips like hidden unshed tears held back too long. To go from that, which is almost like talking about how the world began, to beginning to look at the way the painter paints and how the painter looks to speak to us and take hold of us. And he glorifies in Picasso of the North, mysticism, merry spiritualism, Canadian native grew tall alongside black spruce, eastern white pines and bears. That's just a stunning statement of how deeply rich the artist is in his own community and in his own universe. The way he then deepens that with the comments about the father and then speaking about the pain itself, that by the time he gets again to the end, all things bright and beautiful, all things wise and wonderful. Picasso of the North's legacy lives on like those purple-headed mountains. He has given us the gift of showing us a vibrant and alive artist who truly speaks from his own spiritual base and in the language of his own people. Beautifully done, Eric. Just beautifully done.
Nice comment there, Thomas. Nice comment. Martha, how about you?
I thought it was a wonderful poem. I love the flow of it and the descriptions and the word pictures. It was beautiful. It was very moving.
I agree. Thank you for the great comment. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I love how he took the similes all along. And like the ripe watermelon and then the cerise and how he transferred that into what the emotions that the painter must be going through, you know, as he paints the sadness contained too long for the for his people, then the hardships they went through and then he goes into, but he breaks that fear, and he paints with bold and bright colors, you know, and to behold happiness and get that sense of joy and that celebration of his people. And I love how Eric wrote this from, you know, as if he was the painter himself writing, painting this picture. And I think it was a very, very well written. And this is one of my favorites from Eric so far. Because like Tom said, I understand it. But he writes so eloquently and he's a master of words. And sometimes it's not him the problem, it's me. You know, because being French, well, my English, sometimes I lack vocabulary, and so it's really not on him at all. It's all me there. But this one was written simply, and it spoke to me, and I was just really drawn into this piece all the way. So I really enjoyed this work of art you on this page.
Great comment, Naomi. Great comment. You know, I thought this was a well-written tribute reflecting the artist himself. I thought it was a great expression of admiration and wonderful imagery throughout. Just really a nicely done piece. But Eric says always like that he's got a great eye for detail when he writes. And so it's he always has great descriptions and embellishments to whatever it is he's writing about. And I think that's wonderful. You know, I don't think I could come up with as many descriptive words as Eric does. I can't come up with them in a week, and he comes up with them in one poem. Go figure. But nicely done, really nicely done. Let me see now. Where will that take us? Eric, next one is... Okay, I'll tell you what. Thomas, I believe it's your turn to read.
Okay.
So I'm going to put up this piece here, and I'll figure it out afterwards. There we go, whenever you're ready.
All right. A Chippewa Elegy by Mishael. Moonlight drizzles on the unrefined red muds, old dialect that came from cloaked roots of wild grains caked with clay. The white lake flows down, floating the patched birch canoes overlaid with finger-picked spiderweb charms and the cowrie shells that carved the linear settlements into the waiting, wailing mountains. Parts of those uncharted sands have nursed love, vengeance, and innocence. When the silver beam is done, prowling the great plains, wet mounds of the small turtle islands kiss the footprints of a rising sun. Sweet is the festival of somber smoke and prairie lights breathing release from sickness and fortune. His knees are folded on a frozen chest cupped in the shrouds of a hanging cloud. Feathers fly before the eyes, collecting dim stars. He travels light. He travels slowly from the chanted dirges to a tiger cub's paw. The waterway flows into his thirst. He wears weary leaves in the earth's tremors, carried along by talking drums with high pitch chirps. And as midnight wanes, the last of the first men passes quietly into a panegyrical whispers of dawn while the cawing crows return to their silent roosts. We've come from the branches of life and to her buds we return. End poem.
Wonderful job, Thomas. Wonderful read. Most definitely. Martha, that brings me to you first. So, how did you like that poem?
I thought it was really great. I was really moved by it. I thought it was, because you could almost picture it. It was just beautiful.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Naomi, how about you, hon?
The way she married the earth Yeah, she married the culture all throughout with nature. It's just magnificent. I mean, from the moonlight to the lakes, and then she puts in their birch canoes, and then you know, she puts in Nurse the Law of Vengeance and Innocence, the Uncharted Sands, you know, their hardship that they live through there and the injustice of it all. And then she puts in the great plains, and then the festival of somber smokes and prairie lights breathing. You know, the smoke signals that they'd make, and the festivals that they'd hold. And then she puts in the talking drums also, you know, the music here. So this is as if, you know, and then she finishes with, she married, she painted in her words that picture so, so well. And she wrote so well to the prompt, their branch of life. And when she finishes with, we've come from the branches of life and to her buds, we return. And it's so true, you know. Yeah, it's so true, every one of us. So she speaks about the indigenous culture, but she twines us into it also. So this is a very very well written and beautiful, beautiful imagery and sound metaphors and everything all throughout this. Just amazing, right?
I agree. It was beautifully written. Absolutely. And we have a surprise guest joining us. Hello, surprise guest. Mystery guest, would you sign in, please?
Well, hello there, stranger.
Hey, hello, Pam.
Hey, my roommate finally got home, and my phone was in his car, and he wasn't anywhere near his car because he was actually over at a friend's cleaning a couple of deers that the hunters had gotten. So, so he just got home, and I used his phone to call my phone, and sure enough, I heard it ringing underneath the seat in his car. So, absolutely.
Absolutely, that's for sure. So, Thomas, what did you think about this piece you read?
I really found this to be a fitting elegy, because she takes the picture and lets it become almost a rhapsody of, or a source of a rhapsody for her to speak to the people, to the land, to the images, to the artists. So that by the time we come to the end, we really are at a place where we have felt ourselves dance through life, dance through nature, become spiritually awakened in many ways to a world that speaks to her, and that we are more than willing to be open to as she shares with us all the ways it could sing to us. Really beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you. It was seeing things through someone else's eyes. And we all know that's what poetry is. But, you know, how nature makes someone feel when that expression makes it to the poem, and we read that, it shares that experience, and I think that that's just wonderful. Yeah, it was well written, well expressed. I mean, yeah, so it was great imagery, and the feelings were expressed well. And then, you know, it's just incredible all the way around. So, excellent piece, T, and thank you so much for sharing with us, as always. So let me see what I can do here. Yes. So my next poem, for my next magic trip, isn't that what I always say? Okay. So the next piece, I'm going to put this one up by Martha because I'm going to start going around to, with everybody's piece. Let me grab that and put it in the room. There we go. Okay, Martha, whenever you're ready.
I want to paint the world. I want to paint the world in bright colored hues. I want to paint it shiny and brand new. I want to paint the world happy, you see, and make a brand new world for you and me. I want to catch everybody's eye. I want them to stop and stare as they walk by. I want to make their vision bloom till they can reach out and touch the moon. I want the whole wide world to know there is a better way to go. I want to paint a world of peace and harmony. I want to paint everybody happy. I want to paint a vision so very clear that everyone can see it from far and near. I want to paint the line so all can see a much better world we could be. I want the whole wide world to know there is a much better way to go. I want to paint a world of peace and harmony. I want to paint everybody happy. I want to paint love for every neighbor. I want to paint acceptance of one another. I want to paint life beautiful, you see, and show the whole world how we could be.
Oh, just beautiful, nice. Martha.
Absolutely. Pam, you want to kick us off? Pam?
Sorry, didn't hear you. I thought for some reason you said Tom. I really thought this was wonderful. As always, the lyrical quality is good, great rhyme and flow. She wrote to the first prompt, which was the one about wanting to make paintings in color. And I really like how within this, right, Martha, you caught the idea of how art, and whether it's painting or poetry, should be shared with the world, should be created to give a sense of peace and harmony and happiness. I mean, of course, art serves many different purposes. Sometimes it's to make us think. Sometimes, you know, it's to make us feel deep, sad emotions that move us to act. But there are times when you just look at a painting or you read a poem and you're just filled with a sense of harmony, a sense of joy, and your right captures an artist's desire to give that sense of joy to the world. So just an excellent right and very well done.
Thank you. Nice job. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with everything Pam says. I think that line right there, I want to paint everybody happy, that says it all about this poem. It's just so wonderfully written and includes everything from kindness to acceptance to accepting the differences to just being, you know, nice to each other and accepting each other and seeing painting of the world beautiful. And this is an amazing right here, Martha, an amazing song. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Mm-hmm. Nice job, Naomi. Good comment. And Thomas, how about you?
I really felt like the second verse just sort of summed everything really nicely. I want to catch everybody's eye. I want them to stop and stare as they walk by. I want to make their vision bloom till they can reach out and touch the moon. I just thought that was a great expression of the power of art, the power of joy, the way that we can take light and let it blossom not only for ourselves but in all those around us so that joy becomes contagious. This was just a great burst of fun.
Indeed.
Nice job. Nice job, Thomas. And Martha, I think you did a wonderful job there. You know, as always, spherically done, and I think it was just well written, well expressed. So nice work.
Thank you.
And welcome to the party. And you're up
Thank
next.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hello, Lauren.
Bonsoir. How's everyone? Sorry to be so awfully late. Life intrudes. I didn't have a chance to hear Martha sing this, but it's the product of life in many instances. The high points can be product of the singular vision.
I want to paint the world.
The vision of the artist can be arresting. In this case, Martha is painting with emotions, peace and harmony and happiness and love and acceptance. Those are all emotions. And if you can get that down on canvas in such a way, it can be pretty gripping. And she finishes with one unique line, although there is repetition, and show the world how we could be, almost like Imagine from the Beatles. This is a damn good work. Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment. Okay, Pam. I have your piece up next. So if you would be so kind.
All right. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Thank you. And this is the Loon family, and it goes like this. The Loon family is swimming together on Big Bear Lake. Little ones learning to be mimic their mama. She teaches them how to paddle and glide. She teaches them how to dive down deep. She teaches them how to sing, to communicate with Mother Nature. Mama Loon is wise. She is a humble woman filled with knowledge of the ways of the water and sky. She tells her littles, life is not all peace and joy. There is death always present, always lurking. As we eat the fish, so too will the fish eat us. And as if to prove her point, a large bass grabs a baby loon, the one trailing behind. It will be nourishment for this fish that believes himself to be king of the lake, king of all. The loon family moves always forward, never dwelling on what cannot be changed. And as an eagle watches from the top of the towering pine, a wild hunter, always ready, everything. And an eagle watches from the top of the towering pine, a wild hunter, always ready, everything above and below. The gentle waves are his for the choosing. The bass may believe he is king, but the claws of the eagle will prove otherwise. And as the sun sets against a bold background of rose and pomegranate, Mama Loon sings her remaining children into the land of sleep. They will play in their dreams, and she will sing to herself a song of mourning, a song of mother's spirit. End poem.
Nice, 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 Pam, nice. Laurent, that brings me to you.
Boy, I wish I could have another 2 minutes to finish my comment, but let me go. Let me do it. There's a gorgeous sense of fatalism and acceptance in this poem. The personification is complete. To me, these are living human characters. with emotions that I can understand. The eagle as well. The bass, not so much. Yet it's there, it lurks, and as if to prove her point, a large bass grabs a baby loon, the one trailing behind. There's also an undercurrent of understanding that the weak in nature shall perish, and it is considered natural, normal in many ways. That same deference to death does not extend to the human family, which will always rescue even the weakest. And there are many arguments and counter-arguments that flow from that, which I won't go into right now. But there's so much in this piece, assumptions of how we live and how nature lives. And this view of nature from you, Pam, is really rather special. And I wanted to thank you for writing it.
Thank you, Warren.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful job. I'd like to welcome Mindy to the show. Hey, Mindy, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello,
Mindy.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey, Mindy.
Hi.
We're in Midland. what did you think of Pam's speech?
Well, I just got here and scanned it, but I just started my comment, and it began like this. Heritage and tradition mirrored on a lake. Learned behaviors and symbiotic observations carried out in artwork that is intended to last for a lifetime. And that's as far as I've gotten with it because I haven't had a chance to really delve much deeper. But the vibrancy of the life portrayed within these lines really does capture well the vibrancy of the intensity of the color. That's life. That's life. And it is not just life and that monochromatic, artistic favored tableau of neutral tones. This is a vibrancy, a real intensity to it. In fact, I would say almost capturing chakra colors. You've got heart represented here. You've got speech in the throat chakra represented. There's a lot of spiritualism in the color itself. And it's a beautiful piece, and I'd like to take a little bit more time to read over it.
Thank you, Mindy.
That's what I've grabbed so far. Nice work, Pam.
I like that. Thank you.
Great job. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I read deeper into these lines here. I don't know if it was Pam's intention, but anyway, poetry always speaks to people in different ways. But I see the mother, the mama loon, as the ancestors of these great people. And she's teaching the culture to the future generations. And I see the bass and the eagle as the colonizers who are ripping out ripping out that culture, taking it out from under their feet. So that's what I read into the lines, really deep and well written, and beautiful all throughout, Pam. It's just wonderfully written. Very powerful piece.
Thanks, comment, Naomi. And Thomas, how about you?
Well, it's funny. I found myself thinking of that this was sort of like the Japanese Zen Buddhist meets the Northwest Indian, because there's a story about this young man who had been learning Zen, and he talked about how, you know, everybody accepted death as just being part of life. And he wondered, how do you do that? And he looked at this older gentleman who was both the Zen Buddhist, but also sort of the servant to the leader of the ashram. And he goes, how do you handle all this? And he says, you should understand, I lost my child. And yes, we accept that this is the way the world works and that death is part of the mystery and everything. And we also have to accept that as human beings, we will mourn. And I mourned, for I am just as human as the next person. I always thought that was rather lovely, and you reflect that too, that, you know, even as we deal with life, and even as life is just as it is, you know, the strong prey on the weak, and there's always, and no matter how big a fish you are, there's always a bigger something somewhere else. But at the same time, I liked the way you caught it in that last verse. So zen-like. She will sing to herself a song of mourning, a song of mother's. It was just such a nice final line that made everything else sort of gel and sit perfectly. Beautifully done.
Thank you very much.
Great comment, Thomas. Yeah, Pam, this is a wonderful write. And I've always seen that when you've written of nature in the past, you always have such a respectful tone in what you're writing. And I think that always shines through, and it was a beautiful job. Very well done and wonderfully expressed. Great reflection of that prompt. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
You are welcome.
Happy to.
Now, Laurent, did you, you didn't bring a piece, correct?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Sorry.
I have one for you to read.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. We have one here. Not a big thing. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Skull the Immortal. Slipika Kalita was sitting down with the most gifted, mighty, infallible armor, the art, a time immemorial coinage, to put the hands on the sands of time, to touch the crux of the creative realm, where no one else except the immortal time is the custodian to preserve without the loss of a single tint, a single syllable. Was sitting down with those meditations to create those magical moments with the finger strokes whose vibes may appeal to all, which speaks to each soul, surpassing the barriers of time and horizon. Many a man come to put their strokes, yet none of them appeal to all. Certain compositions are imbued with unparalleled history, culture, and emotion that everyone can resemble unanimous with those timeless eidolons, that even the most exact replica couldn't pin down their exact essence at all. An artist might be invoked by heavenly beings only at that transcendental moment like never before, an almost surreal synchronization of divinity and mundanity, to have fusion to call for its stroke, neither for catharsis nor for fascination, but to convey the timeless ideals. In deep reflection, came to the conclusion, if I have that divine inspiration, why should we get puzzled to paint with conviction that my strokes will never be get rusted, nor lost the luster with a lapse of time to engross, to enamor. I belong to a sacred religion. Excuse me. I belong to a sacred region where people are free from the shackles of the divisive notions. Here, art is for emancipation, not for Epicurean paragons. The shine of those strokes can't be taken away, neither by partiality nor by discrimination. Any experience, any conspiracy, or preconceived notions. Charlatans, fops, and poseurs don't have caliber to analyze, to have an in-depth of its mighty ideals. While embracing bitter criticism, it adheres to its beauty's ideals its glory might be somewhere else, in being above petty concerns. Art, as a cult of intuition, apparently accomplished ethereally, is indeed cosmopolitan, devoid of hoisted boundaries, to be a mere fraction. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Mindy, you want to start us off?
Well, this is a very, not only creatively penned piece, but intellectually penned piece. And I'm going to grab the overview, which to me, in this case, looks from the outside as well as the inside, and is a judgment passed on others who maybe possess, collect, observe art for its aesthetic more than the more germane reasons that art exists. Here, she's listed for emancipation. There's a liberty and a freedom in it, and the meaning has a much deeper necessity and reason for existing as well as being created, and should not even be compared in the same realms. And that's the way I'm choosing to interpret this. It's a very beautifully penned piece, very deeply thought piece, and a well-considered piece. That contrast and comparisons, she did beautifully.
Nice job. Nice comment, Mindy. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Mindy. This is very, very deep intellectual piece, very well written, very eloquent, and masterfully written. And it connects so well with the prompt that she chose there. My art speaks and will continue to speak, transcending barriers of nationality, language, and other forces that may be divisive, fortifying the greatness, the spirit of the that what has always been the foundation of the Abbé Ojibwa people. And I think this piece speaks so beautifully to that quote, and it's just written right for that quote. Shows how each piece is singular and important in its own way, and you have to have respect for art that way, and for the artist himself too. So very beautifully written piece.
Great comment there, Naomi. And Thomas, that brings me to you.
Well, it strikes me that she's speaking both of how art is a land for the free, as well as speaking out against those critics who would try to limit exactly what art can or cannot do. I mean, when you hear that line, here, art is for emancipation, not for Epicurean paragons. Charlatans, fops, and posers don't have to have caliber to analyze, to have an in-depth of the mighty ideas. I thought you did it really nicely, and created a sort of a swirling masterpiece of her own, of both thoughts, ideas, and poetry, while at the same time rather fiercely standing for the idea that art is for the artist, not the critic.
Nice comment, Tom. Nice comment. Okay, and Pam, last but not least.
Yeah, I thought this was a powerful, intelligent, and beautiful write. And I'm glad Naomi brought up the quote that it was written to, because I did feel like it fit that quote perfectly. Oh, and it's pronounced Ojibwe.
Ojibwe.
Yes. But I, you know, what I like about this is that it speaks on art on a deeper level, a deeper purpose, how it transcends moments, how it brings us into the past, into the future. I don't know, it has a certain spirituality to it. And I know, like Mindy mentioned, there's a certain sense of freedom found within these lines, within art itself. And I really like how she says, an artist might be invoked by heavenly beings only at the transcendental moment, like never before, an almost surreal synchronization of divinity and mundanity. I feel like it not only celebrated the artwork of this particular artist, Norval Morisot, but it also celebrated artwork and poetry and creation everywhere. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam, and I agree with you 100%. I think it was more of an across the board, more so than this specific artist. And I thought it was very well done. Great read, Laurent. Okay, now, Miss Mindy,
uh-huh.
I have your piece next, if you would be so kind.
All righty. A copper thunderbird flies the blue in forever skies. Ojibwe artist Norval Morisot, Ojibwe artist Norval Morisot, dynamic canvases celebrated, venerated, and immortalized the people, their sagacity, values, and weft of life. Canadian Aboriginal art captures both earthly and mystical heritage of atmospheric influence. Bear, moose, fish, rabbits, and birds were spirit animals of nature realms considered odudum, or kinship group, ethereal tethers forged of belonging. Hues vibrantly honoring a voracious cultural metal and enduring forms of northern indigenous design, defining and reinforcing paternal bloodlines. Pigment brush blended a bright sea and sky, paint and tones splashed of energetic potency. A shaman's Orphic echoes in grandfather's medicine, legends shaped by connections of pulsed galleries, heirlooms of heart. And the quote I chose is down below. My art speaks and will continue to speak, transcending barriers of nationality, legend, and other forces that may be divisive, fortifying the greatness of a spirit that has always been the foundation of the Ojibwe people.
Nice. Nice read, Mindy. Nice piece. Very well done. So, Naomi, that brings me to you.
Yes. This is beautiful, Mindy, how you incorporated Norval Morisot's art and intertwined it into the culture of his people, and how you brought in aspects of that culture, like the spirit animals that you mentioned. And and the design, you talk about the design and the paternal bloodlines. And then you go into the pigment and you compare it to a brush blended of bright sea and sky. Wow, that's a beautiful line there. Painted in tones, splashes of energetic potency. Then to end it with heirlooms of the heart, you know, heirlooms of heart. Wow, this is an amazing write, Mindy. Loved it.
Thank you.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Thomas, that brings me to you.
Well, this is a lovely piece that speaks directly to the spirit of the people and how the art becomes a reflection of that spirit. And it's generous, I guess is the right word to me, in its descriptions, for it catches both the colors, the dynamics, the way in which it reflects a people who are one with their land and who honor that as well as speaking to their own strengths as human beings and members of a vibrant community. A shaman's Orphic echoes and grandfather's medicine, legends shaped by connections to pulse galleries, heirlooms of heart. That's just sums it up so beautifully. Luscious and gracious piece that really speaks to the heart. Well done.
Thank you, Tom.
Great comment, Thomas. And Pam? I bet you.
I think this is absolutely beautiful. I will be honest, I'm not 100% sure how his last name is pronounced, but because my maiden name was Doncerol with the same E-A-U ending, I'm just pronouncing it the same ending that my name I had growing up had. But, you know, pronunciations vary. But what I really like about this piece is that it celebrates the artwork, but it doesn't just celebrate the artwork. It celebrates the history of a people, the future of a people, the spirituality of a people, the kinship. There's a couple things. Well, I wanted to do a Native American artist because of November being, well, not Native American, I'm sorry, you know, an aboriginal, I forget what the other term is for it, but, you know, a Native artist. And I chose this artist particularly because he was referred to as the Picasso of the North. And I felt that there was these kind of bold colors, these surrealistic shapes. But more important than the surrealism was that a lot of his imagery had a very circular shape, a lot of lines connecting. And so within that sense of connection and circulars, it is a spiritual message. And I feel indigenous, that's the word I was looking for. It's right in your poem, too, right there, Mindy. Forms of Northern Indigenous Design. Well, thank you to you. But I feel like the spirituality that's in this artwork, the storytelling that's in this artwork, you pay tribute to within your poem. And I love this all the way through, but especially Q is vibrantly honoring a voracious cultural metal and enduring forms of Northern Indigenous Design. And a shaman's Orphic echoes and grandfather's medicine legend shaped by connections of pulse galleries. This is truly a rite that has life and vibrancy in it, and it's very well done.
Thank you, and I want to commend you, too, on your selection for themes for November. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Pam mm-hmm. is on the ball. Always.
Yes, she was.
Laurent, that brings me to you.
Well, congratulations, Mindy. This is a very nice tribute to the man. And by the way, Morisot, I agree, is correct. EAU is French for old, so that's exactly the way it's water. That's exactly the way it's pronounced. You use the word dynamic, and dynamic canvases celebrated, venerated, immortalized the people, their sagacity, values, and weft of life. I have to believe that an artist like this has drawn from his native beliefs, his traditions, history, and the world about them. And it really is an intriguing style. This particular picture that you chose was one of my favorites. I just never had a chance to write to it, which is unfortunate. But you really caught something with those last stanzas. Pigment brush blended of bright sea and sky. Paint and tones splashed of energetic potency, a shaman's Orphic echoes in grandfather's medicine, legends shaped by connections of pulse galleries, heirlooms of the heart. And it really is the heart of him, the heart of his tribe, his people, the heart of his beliefs. It's all rendered in his marvelous art. A nice poem, my dear.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But it was a wonderful poem, Mindy. I thought that it really not only paid tribute to the man's art, but also to the man himself. And not necessarily the man, per se, but the man and the reflections of his people. And I thought it was beautifully done. Really nice work.
Thank you.
Yes, and thanks for writing for us. That was great. Okay, so let me see. Next, I have Miss Naomi's piece. And good night, Tom. Thanks for coming to join us. Okay, here we go, Miss Naomi, whenever you are ready.
Yes, so I'll try to, every time I've tried to read this practicing, I started to cry, so I'll try not to do that. Okay, so this is called The Branch of Life Where I Belong. My house is bustling with music, singing, talking, screeches and laughter. The scurrying patter of little feet tickles, chases, and hide-and-seeks. As on my knee, I bump up and down little Lena that squeaks and giggles. And I think this is where I belong, right here and no other place. As I smile watching my two daughters dancing crazily and while screeching out, I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give and I'll survive. I will survive. Hey, hey. And then tumbling together into a laughing pile on the kitchen floor. And I smile, remembering Pam taking her first steps at only 9 months and Kim, her first word. And I laugh because she never stopped talking since. The first time they both said mama and all those other firsts. And I think, yes, you are strong, my girls. Oh, sorry.
Don't be sorry.
We're crying with you.
Yes, yes, you are strong, my girls. There's nothing that you can't do because you are the greatest. The greatest thing that I ever did in my lifetime. I see my two sons laughing as they arm wrestle, and I remember Sam breaking his leg on our first ski trip, Brandon getting a split bloody lip falling down off something again, and me thinking, as I wiped away their tears, you can cry, you can be afraid, because I will be brave and strong enough for both of us. Don't you worry. You just be you. And I look at each of my four granddaughters and imagine them older with bouncing babies on their knees, singing lullabies and telling stories. Perhaps the same ones I told my children, and that they then told their children. And then Lena wraps her hand around my finger, and my heart sings. And I think, oh, yes, I am right where I belong. I don't need to climb no mountain high, swim no ocean wide, nor read 1,000 books to discover the hidden secrets about living happy and fulfilled. Because this right here, this all around me, this is what life is all about.
Beautiful job, Naomi. Beautiful job. Okay, that brings me to Laurent first.
Well, Naomi, you brought us into your life, and you showed us your heart. I have to absolutely agree with you. This was where you belonged. Your emotion to me is proof that the words you put on paper are somehow almost sacred to you, or are sacred to you, because when that much emotion is condensed into lines describing people, children, the family that you love, you have hit on something that is rare. I think it's rare when you I don't want to say lose it. I mean, we've all cried at certain points when we write poems, but when emotion chokes you, to me it's proof that you have laid your heart open, bare, and shown the world what's going on. And sometimes that can be difficult to express to a larger public. But I thought you did a fine job, and the writing of this is sweet, it's tender, it's specific, it's memories of a past that will never die. Beautiful job.
Thank you, Laurent.
Yes. And Miss Mindy.
This was stunning, and you had me tearing up right alongside you. So it was absolutely beautiful. I read, I heard, and I felt the love within and between these detailed lines of life in full and blessing living color, in your quavering voice, and in a mother's truest depths shared in Hugh's heart deep. You moved me with genuine gratitude and thanks made evident in each precious word shared herein. It's a stunning piece, and I love that you shared it.
Thank you, Mindy.
Please comment, Mindy. And Pam? Gotcha.
Yeah, this it's not only the write itself, but the way you read it with such raw and honest emotion that had, I think, every one of us tearing up. I love that you share yourself with us, that you share your family. I like that you looked at this artwork with the children and the connection of the branches of life, and you saw what connects you, what is your joy in life, your secret to happiness. That isn't the secret you want to keep to yourself. You just want to burst out and share it with everyone. I really appreciate and enjoy how your house is bustling with music, singing and talking, how you're there to comfort your children and to be the brave one when they needed to be scared, when they needed to cry. And I like how in the end you show us what you see for the future. You see stories and music and joy and happiness being passed along to generations to come. And just a wonderful, heartfelt life and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice comment. Well, Naomi, I thought this was a beautiful expression of a loving mother sharing with us moments of a lifetime shared. Beautiful memories and thoughts, and, you know, we could all tell that they were emotional to you, because when you're reading them, it just, you know, touches your heart again. I mean, those memories, you know, you just can't, I don't know. They're wonderful. They're just wonderful. Don't tell anybody, but I have some of them too. We don't want them to know.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm going to tell you what I have one more SoundCloud to play, and I'm going to put that up, and then I think there's only two carryovers for Friday. So there we go. This is by Lyrically Speaking. So let me, the lyric is speaking, sorry. And here we go.
Tonight's read is releasing us from our fears by Lyrically Speaking. What we actually fear is what makes us subject to failure, squeezing us with a stronghold through the boundaries in our past, unless we stray far from the obstacles that challenge life. From that to better or worse, acceptance to defeat submerges us to our fate, leaving it to the destiny to disaster with no escape, relinquishing one soul to no life left. End point.
I was, but I was trying to copy a poem. I didn't realize I was quite so short. So, Naomi, you want to kick us off on this one?
Oh, this is powerful, eh? And it speaks, yeah, because what fear is actually the subject of our failure, because fear is what keeps us back from, you know, from crashing through those boundaries that we want to go off. And it's just fear. And then the challenge of life, like she says, is the acceptance of defeat and you know, our destiny. And so, yeah, this is a short but so, so powerful. Wow. So a good job, Lyric is speaking.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, about you.
I like the way she captured fear as that monster that eats our confidence. Once that's gone, it's hard to get anything done. And as was just said, that acceptance of defeat submerges us to our fate, leaving it the destiny to disaster with no escape. She read this in almost a rap style. It sounded angry. It sounded as if this was a truth that she had discovered. Really wanted to make sure she got her point across. I don't know if anger is the right word, but it definitely did not brook any other opinion other than the one she was expressing. I like that kind of emotion in a read. Well done.
Nice comment. And Mindy, how about you?
I thought it was powerful, dynamic lines that really speak so very strongly with conviction that prods, prompts, and encourages us in its thundering core. And it really does have that. This is a brevity with some serious meat, and she absolutely comes with the power. It's beautiful capture of the theme, too, that prompt that she's got up top.
Excellent. Excellent comment. And we have two poems to carry over. One is by Arendt, and the other is by Julie Buck. And we'll put those on Friday night's show. And I want to thank everyone who called in. Sam, I'm going to let you take it over tonight and let you run what's happening here.
I'm going to take it. What am I taking over?
The ending.
The ending. Okay. Well, thank you, like Dean, for stepping up for when I had lost my phone and couldn't call in until after the first hour. Thank you to Naomi, Tom, Lawrence, and Mindy for calling in, to Sapphire Rose for hanging on the board, to everyone. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Of course, thank you, Jean, for, you know, always being a wonderful co-host and for all you do in the background. I really appreciate that people were inspired by this particular artist and his quotes. And, of course, join us 30 minutes after this show is over for Late Night with Midnight Bomber and Captain B2, with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. They're celebrating Captain B2's one-year anniversary co-hosting the show, and it's got a lot of great lineup of poetry. Also, make sure to check out the contest that Fill My Eyes is running for our sexy Wednesday Thanksgiving show, The Art of Seduction. That's what it's called, our Thanksgiving week Art of Seduction. She's got a lot of fun prompts going on. Plus, Richard Wiseman is running a contest. Him and Lawrence will be hosting the LNP Thanksgiving show. Not Lauren. I'm sorry. Newton's back. Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry. My apologies. Newton. Yes. Richard and Neutron will be hosting the Thanksgiving show on Thursday. We got to check out all the contests our hosts and hostesses are running and the topic boards they're putting up, because you're sure to find something to inspire. Thank you, everyone. Great show tonight.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Thank you. Awesome show.
Naomi, thank you.
Good night.
I appreciated you very much. It was fun. And Thomas, thank you for stepping up and being a twisted mister. Anyway, everybody, thank you again.
Night.
Y'all take care.
Good night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you, honey.